You've reached the final session in the Leader Worth Following Fast Track. Congratulations, you've already come so far on your journey toward freedom in developing your leadership skills. We started the Fast Track by looking at the reality that leaders need help, and I showed you four reasons that leaders seek help from us. Then I showed you the simple leadership compass tool and the four greatest challenges that leaders are facing today. In Module 1, Lead, we looked at what it means to be a leader worth following and the three essential attributes of the leader worth following: knowledge, connection, and awareness. Then in Module 2, Discover, it was all about finding the right tools for developing your own leadership skills. We showed you how you can sort through the diverse content and information in the marketplace to identify the best tools and resources to develop skills, attitudes, and practices that will stick. Then we looked at what to do to develop your leadership skills and five fast action tips for making immediate sustainable progress. Fast action tip number one was invest in you. Number two was the importance of simplifying your life, work, and leadership. Fast action number three involved the four C's, which are clarity, courage, commitment, and confidence. Then fast action tip number four was all about making decisions that matter. And fast action tip number five, we showed you the difference between ownership and buy-in and why ownership is essential for successful leaders. In Module 3, Apply, we talked about applying the learning into sustainable life and work habits, and how everything that we do at GuideStone involves applied learning. We started off by tackling one of the most pressing challenges with applying the learning, that we're often consuming so much leadership information that we don't have sufficient time to apply it. And we asked the question, why do we struggle to apply the learning? We looked at seven reasons why we have trouble applying what we learn. The first was because we're investing in others. We already spend so much time investing in people that setting aside time to invest in ourselves is difficult. And while we want to continue to invest in other people, we can't pass on to others something we don't first possess. The second reason that we struggle with applying what we learn is busyness and distraction. And we looked at how we can be more productive and how we can get more done. We looked at the unbelievable power of choosing your own priorities. Then we looked at the third reason why we have trouble applying what we learn, because we don't take time to fully recharge, and the importance of rest and taking time away from the demands of work. The fourth reason was obstacles, and we talked about significant obstacles and five things that we could do in tough times. And then we looked at three reasons that we struggle to apply learning that most leaders don't realize are a problem for them: inaction, low accountability, and not listening. And I showed you two tools that will dramatically improve your ability to apply learning to your own life and your work and develop other people around you: the specificity tool and the one-on-one meeting guide and template. When we moved into Module 4 review, we looked at four tools that will help you measure, track, and celebrate progress. We looked at the four gauges tool, the weekly review, the quarterly review, and the annual review. And that brings us to where we are right now. And I need to tell you something that's very important. Most problems can't be fixed. Most personal problems can't be fixed. Most leadership problems can't be fixed, because people are more complex than a car or a computer or an iPhone that can be fixed. Most problems can't be fixed, but they can be avoided. Most problems can't be fixed, but you can prepare for them. You can properly prepare for leadership problems, and in many cases avoid them, so there's less to cope with and less to process later. In other words, you can simplify your life, work, and leadership by making these simple decisions and using these simple tools. Let me tell you a quick story. Years ago, when I was working on some of these things, I was really working at getting home on time and being home for dinner so that we could spend time together as a family. One day I got home and I was in the kitchen with my wife, standing across the counter from her, and we were talking about my day. And I planned to be home a little bit earlier, and for whatever reason, I got home a little bit later. And so we were talking about that, and my daughter had already, she'd been home from school for a while, and she'd gone across the street to play with her friend, and while we're standing there, my phone rang. And I look down, and it's our neighbor across the street. It's his cell phone. And I remember answering the phone, and my daughter was on the other end of the line, interestingly enough. And so she says, "Dad, I'm standing here, and they're getting ready to eat dinner, and they said that I could join them for dinner." Now, I'm listening to her, and I'm thinking, okay, our friends are really nice people, and they're getting ready to eat dinner, and they don't want to kick this girl out of their house. And so they told her, "Hey, if you want to stay, you can stay for dinner." And in my mind, I'm thinking, do they have enough food? Are they doing this just to be nice? Plus, I was thinking about spending time with her and spending time with my wife over dinner. And I said, "Babe, why don't you just come on home for dinner? I'd like to see you for just a few minutes. We can eat dinner together, and then you can head back over there when dinner's over." Well, that's not what she wanted to hear. And she said, "But Dad, they said I could stay." And again, I'm thinking, they're all sitting around the table and she's standing there with the phone pleading with me for dinner. And I said, "Babe, just come on home. We'll eat dinner together and then you can head back over there." Well, I expected her to say something like, "Okay, I love you, Dad. You're the best dad in the world," or something like that. That's not what I heard. All I heard on the other end of the line was a click and then silence. I looked across the counter at my wife and I said, "I think she just hung up on me. I mean, she didn't say anything. She's frustrated with me." A few moments later, she came through the door. It was obvious that she was disappointed. And so we sat down at dinner and it was just awkward. I tried to ask questions, and typically my daughter, who is so compliant and so friendly and so outgoing, it just didn't work that evening. And because we're such great parents, as soon as dinner was over, we let her go back over and play. Several hours later, it was time to come home, to get ready for bed, to get ready for school the next day. And so instead of calling over there, I didn't want to get hung up on again, I walk across the street. And so I walk across the street and I walk up to the door, I knock on the door, and I'm standing there for a few moments when the door opens. And it's my daughter again. And I say, "Hey, babe, how's it been going?" She says, "Oh, it's good." I said, "Hey, it's time for us to go back home and to get ready for bed and to get ready for school tomorrow." And she said, "But Dad, we were just getting ready to go back out and ride bikes." And I said, "That's okay, babe. They're going to be here tomorrow. We can come back over tomorrow. It'll be fine." And she says, "But Dad, I really wanted to ride bikes one more time." And I said, "Babe, it's getting dark. It's almost dark. We need to go back. We got to get ready for bed. We got to get ready for school tomorrow." She reaches back and gets a hold of the door and then just shuts it right in my face. And I'm thinking, man, I can't be standing here when she walks out that door in a few minutes. So I pick up her brother's bike and whatever toys were laying there, and I start walking back across the street. And I walk in the front door, and once again, I begin venting to my wife. I'm like, "She just slammed the door in my face, and earlier she just hung up the phone on me. We've got to say something to her about this." Madison comes in the door, and she goes upstairs and gets her bath and starts getting ready for bed. And right before she gets in bed, we say, "Hey, babe, why don't you come sit down and talk to us?" And so we sit down on the couch, and we're asking her, "Hey, help us understand what's going on." In fact, one of the questions that I asked her, because I always want to take responsibility for my part of the responsibility, not to enable bad behavior, but I want to make sure that there's not things that I'm doing for those who are following me to make it more difficult for them to follow. And so I asked her, "What could Mom and I have done differently?" And almost without saying, she said, "If you had just given me a time, I would have been here. If you had just given me a time for dinner, or you would have just given me a time to come home this evening, I would have been here." Now, this may not be true for every child, but we know it was true for Madison. I mean, this is a girl who's been getting herself up in the morning, every morning with her alarm clock since she was 4 years old. What she was saying was, "When I'm prepared, I'm better able to respond in the moment. When you're prepared, you're better able to respond in the moment." And so the way to avoid leadership problems and the way to avoid problems in general is to prepare for them. To prepare for the, quote, unexpected that comes at us in our life and our work and our leadership. And that's what this fast track and these tools have been all about, helping you to much better prepare for the unexpected that's going to come at you later today, that's going to come at you later this week and later this year. And when it does, you're going to remember this moment. And what you'll remember is one of two things. Either I was intentional with the tools or I was accidental. Either I applied them consistently or I set them aside and I walked away. To experience transformation, you must consistently apply the principles to your life, your work, and your leadership. Everything that we do at Guidestone involves proven universal principles and requires applied learning. See, a principle is not a rule that you follow. Principles follow you. A principle is not something that you choose to apply. They apply to you. A principle is not like a rule or a law that you can break, but if you ignore them, they can break you. A principle is not something that's invented, they're experienced, or explained, and you can leverage a principle for your benefit, or you can ignore it to your demise. See, you don't have a problem that needs to be fixed. You have a direction that needs to change. And many leaders are working and living in the wrong direction, and so often we don't even realize it. See, you're always lost before you realize it. And you often don't even know at which point you got lost. Your direction is the best indicator of your destination or where you'll end up. If your current situation isn't working out, you don't need to fix it. You don't need a solution. You need a new direction. You can't wish your way back. You can't even pray your way back. You must make the decision to change direction. Many leaders are simply living and leading in the wrong direction, and most of them kind of know, I need to change. You know you need a change of direction. It's why you're here today. But there's no instant solution. There's no quick fix. But you can start today to change your direction, to have the courage to apply what you're learning, to be more aware that the problem is bigger than you ever imagined, and to know that there's more reason for hope than ever before. Hope because you can and will make progress quickly by applying the simple leadership tools and a step-by-step process. If you change direction, your reality will eventually change. If you change your direction, it'll make your life better and it'll make you better at life. If you change direction, it'll make your work better and you will get better at your life's work. If you change direction, it will make your leadership better and you will get better at leading. I want you to end up somewhere on purpose with a purpose. And if you choose the intentional path rather than the accidental path, two things will be very different for you. Number one, fulfillment will be different for you. You will learn to love your work instead of dreading it. You will be more fulfilled in your experiences at home and at work, and you'll have more margin so your connections and relationships will be better. You'll be more fulfilled. The second thing is you'll experience freedom like you've never experienced it before, no matter how long you've been living and working. You'll be free to be your true, authentic self. You'll have freedom to fulfill your full potential. You'll be free to decide how your work should fit into your overall life. You'll be free to choose your own path and your own priorities, to envision what they could be. You'll be free to create a plan for your vision and to follow it for your journey. You'll be free from stress when life hits you with the unexpected because you'll be better prepared to face it. And you'll be free to spend time with and learn from people that you respect and people that you care deeply about. And freedom in each one of these areas directly relates to one of the six phases of the simple leadership spiral. We take a deep dive into these opportunities and more in the Simple Leadership Masterclass. For more information about taking your leadership to the next step, click the link in your worksheet or on this page. And as you continue this journey in a new direction toward transformation, I want you to remember, you don't have to get it perfect. You just need to take the next step.